You are listening to the Galena Missions Podcast, the preaching ministry of Galena Bible Church. Follow along as we study God's Word together.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. My favorite pastoral joke about small groups, speaking to small groups, was there was a little country pastor that had an evening service, which is normally less attended by nature anyways, and there was a massive hail thunderstorm that was happening. And so when he made it to church that night, there was only one old farmer that had made it for that church service. And young pastor told the old farmer, he said, "Well, it's just you and me. Should I just forego, a sermon? We can just pray and go home." And he said, "Well, if I show up to the barn to feed the cows and only one cow comes, I feed it." All right. So he gets up, he gets after it, and he starts preaching, working up a sweat, and just, whole thing. An hour and 15 minutes later, he's done. And he looks at the old farmer and he says, "Well, how was it?" And he says, "Well, if I show up to the barn to feed the cows and only one cow comes, I don't feed it the whole bale of hay." So I'll do my best to not feed you the whole bale of hay this morning. Interesting statistics around the nature of leadership in the United States and what we value in leadership. 80% of Fortune 500 company CEOs have what are classified as clinical narcissistic tendencies. And these are the people that write the books and do the conferences and teach the lessons on leadership. The top 10% of Fortune 500 company CEOs, as far as like their success rate, I think it's 100% of those CEOs are divorced. And that's leadership. That's what's put forward. And if you look at what is put forward by political entities or even, even just groups and organizations, the person that gets pushed to the front as the leader, when you describe them as far as what is it about them that makes them a quality leader? What is it about them that we say, yes, we want to follow them, we want to listen to them? Meek is not usually an adjective that is used to describe that individual. We might say something like, "Well, they're very humble," but that stands out. That's something that we're like, "Wow, that seems very odd." But as we've probably all experienced, there are people that we meet that are, we might describe, or they might even think of themselves as humble, but it really is almost just kind of a false humility, right? Like a masked arrogance, a self-depredation that isn't actually true humility. And the idea of meekness, gentleness, humility is not necessary. We value it as an ideal, but when we actually gravitate towards leaders as a culture, for whatever reason, that's not who we put forward. That's not who we lift up. That's not who we value and read their books. We go after the go-getters, the ones that accomplish things, the ones that get done what it is that as an organization or a political party or a nation or whatever we feel like are going to accomplish what we want them to do. And yet, Jesus, when he speaks in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, gives this one statement. He says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but to inherit the earth is kind of a big deal, right? Like if your uncle dies and he gives you his will and you find out that, your rich uncle dies and you get his will and you realize that your uncle willed you the earth because it turns out that he owns it, that would be a pretty significant thing, right? And yet Jesus, the one who actually does own the earth, says, of those who are meek, in other words, happy. Remember we said that blessed, that term blessed, doesn't just mean like some spiritualized thing. It means happy, or one who ought to be congratulated because of the circumstances that you find yourself in. He says, blessed or happy are those who are meek because the earth will be theirs. The inheritance of theirs is the earth. I want us to look at this concept of meekness. Your Bible might also translate it gentleness. Blessed are the gentle, or blessed are those who are meek. And we're going to look at first what it's not. What is meekness not? And then we're going to look at what it is. First, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. When we talk about being gentle as Christians, the call of Christ for us to be gentle, for us to be meek, that does not equate to us being weak. We're not called to be emotionally weak. We're not called to be mentally weak. We're not called to be in leadership weak or any of those kind of things. And yet, for a lot of people, when they look at the pattern of what Jesus calls them to, they kind of press down that side of Jesus's leadership because that doesn't fit with what we want. We want not weak leaders, but strong leaders, right? And that strength oftentimes does lean more towards the aggressive side of leadership, the aggressive nature of accomplishing our tasks. And there have been Christians over the past that have taken the words of Jesus, the ideas of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, and even things like blessed are the meek, and they apply it to passivism. So the idea that we as Christians are to be passive, hands off, we don't take authority, we don't take action, we don't fight back, we don't do those kind of things. And that is not the picture of meekness. To be meek does not mean that we as Christians are weak individuals. We are called to live in such a way that as we engage the culture, we are to be strong in the Lord, firm in our faith. As we, weakness in emotion oftentimes boils down to a sense of uncertainty. That the reason that we may be emotionally weak is that there's things that we are uncertain of, that we can't wrap our hands around, that we can't control. And so we feel weak in those things. And to that, Jesus speaks the truth of telling us, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has concerns of its own, let alone be sufficient for the grace that is today. As we walk forward in these things, we are, as Christians, called to be people who are not weak individuals. This does not mean, of course, that we are to move to that place of being bullies in the sense, which unfortunately has become a much more normal thing within certain groups of Christianity that think the idea of pushing our agenda means I need to be the louder voice. I need to be the more aggressive voice. I need to be the one that you're going to listen to me, and I'm going to make you listen to me. And they say those that have the choice to step back and say, no, I'm not going to be aggressive in that, they would say, well, you're just being weak. And I would say, no, I'm being meek. And we're going to see what that means there. To be meek means that we are not weak in our emotions, and that we are not weak in our actions either. Again, when we think of gentle, when we think of meekness, we think of somebody that's not necessarily taking strong actions into something. And again, people will look at us and say, well, because you're not doing this, or you're not passionate about this, or you're not angry about this, then you must be weak. And that's not the truth about what meekness truly is. What meekness is, from a biblical standpoint, is meekness, the word that is used here, blessed are the gentle, or blessed are the meek. The word that is used there is the same word that is used as an adjective to describe war horses. Do you know what a war horse is? It was a horse with a particular type of temperament. Not every single horse that is born on the planet can become a war horse. Every horse that was born to the armies of old, as armies would have horses. I guess the army still has horses today. But in ancient times, when you would have war horses, the armies would breed horses, and they would have to select out horses that would be good for being in war. The reason that was significant was all horses are powerful, right? All horses are strong. That's why we use terminology to describe the power of an engine as horsepower. They are strong animals. But not every horse that is powerful is able to actually control its power when under great trial and stress. And think about how much trial and stress a horse has to be if it is in the middle of conflict. I mean, we've all heard of stories of people riding, you know, they go to visit their aunt or uncle that owns a horse and they're riding out and a cat runs across the horse and the horse freaks out, pitches the rider off of it and the person gets hurt. We've all heard those kind of stories, right, where horses get spooked and they run and they do all that kind of stuff. A war horse cannot get spooked. That was the nature of them. They had to be able to withstand shouts. They had to be able to withstand getting wounded and continuing doing what they were doing. The picture of meekness that is painted for us here in Blessed Are the Meek is strength under control. Power under control. The nature of meekness that is played out for us in Scripture is ultimately the picture of Jesus. Ultimate power. I mean, think about this. The Scriptures tell us that all things that were made in heaven and on earth were made by Christ for Christ. That's pretty significant power, right? Seen those cool pictures of the rings around Saturn? Jesus made those, right? You ever seen the ornateness of DNA? Jesus did that, right? And all of it is being held together by him. It's the picture of Jesus in the garden when the soldiers come to him and he knows what's coming. He knows everything. I mean, he's been in such great stress, not hours before, that his capillaries and his skin were rupturing and he was sweating blood. He knows what's coming. And he just speaks to his arresting officers like no big deal. And what does Peter do? Peter grabs a sword and goes and cuts off the high priest's servant's ear because he's ready for a fight. And what does Jesus say? You dummy. Don't you know? Don't you know? I could call down 10,000 angels and wipe all this out. Strength under control. Jesus, meek. The meekness of Christ is the model for us as we realize that God has birthed in us uniqueness that is strong, powerful, influential, significant, poignant, impactful into the world. This is the reason why we are called to be so careful with our words, because though we may die, the things that we say change the world, right? Some of the most significant moments in your life probably came either painfully or blessingly because of what somebody said to you at some other point in time in your life, right? You remember that painful moment when somebody looked at you maybe and said, "You're trash, you're worthless, you have no significance, I don't love you, I hate you." That was a word. And that moment passed, but it significantly altered the course of your life. And then likewise, when somebody said, "I love you, I'm proud of you, you did an incredible job," that word in that moment has passed, but it has shifted the course of your life. We have incredible power that God has given us in our lives, in the way that we raise up children, in the way that we interact with our neighbor, in the way that we fellowship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, and it changes the world. Albeit maybe in small ways, but we have no idea what we're going to say or what we're going to do that's going to have eternal impacts, eternal repercussion or waves that last out into eternity. And this is why Jesus tells us to be meek. To live in such a way where we live with power under control. Now, the great challenge, I don't know about for you, but for me, is that sometimes I don't have control. over me. Now, that may sound funny because you're like, well, of course, we're not mentally ill. We got control of ourselves. Well, this has been always my argument about the nature of, when people ask the question, do you believe in free will? Do you believe in free will? And most of us say, well, yeah, sure, of course. I picked what I was going to wear this morning. I chose whether I was going to eat breakfast or not. I chose whether I was going to come to church today. I believe I have free will, right? Of course, everybody generally would say, okay, I believe in free will. Until I ask you this question, if you believe you really do have free will, then just stop sinning. Just stop. Don't ever do it again. Just don't. I mean, you have free will. Don't do it anymore. Well, I can't. Why not? It's because there's this war that's raging in my flesh, right? Even the Apostle Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 7, where he said, the good things that I want to do, those are the things that I don't want to do. And the things that I do not want to do, those are the very things that I do. What is he saying? He's saying this call for meekness, power under control. It is a wrestling match. And this is why Jesus says, blessed, happy, one who ought to be congratulated, if meekness is true of you. If you, like the warhorse, have learned to control your strength. Now, the reason I love the picture, the reason I love the fact that that same word that Jesus applies to us, meekness, is applied to this powerful animal that is going into conflict, is that that powerful animal that is going into conflict is not actually under its own control. It's the reason why when James was writing to the church there and he described the power of the tongue, as I mentioned earlier, that nature of the power of the tongue and what we say and how it does, he described it like a small thing that controls something big. He described it like the rudder, the little bitty rudder on a gigantic ship. The rudder is a very small component of the ship and it just turns and the boat goes which way it goes. And then he said, the tongue is also like a bridle, a bit in a horse's mouth. It's tiny. You ever seen a bit for a horse's mouth? They're tiny compared to the horse, right? All 1,500 pounds of horse and 3 ounces of metal, and yet that 3 ounces of metal controls the horse. And the war horse learns to have its power controlled, not by itself, but by listening to its driver. The reason that Jesus can say, happy or blessed are the meek, is ultimately he's saying that what we are doing is not only are we strength under control, but we are strength that is being controlled by him. And he tells us that because he says, those that are meek will inherit the earth, and the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. So he's saying that if we genuinely are meek, biblically meek, godly meek, then we are being controlled by the Lord. We're listening to what it is that he is saying as he guides us and pulls us. And we can be like a stubborn horse that pulls against the bit. We can be a horse that is so stubborn that it bucks it off and says, to heck with you, I'm going to go run and do whatever I want to do. But in war, those horses get killed. And make no mistake, whatever the world may say, we're at war. And we're not at war with the other. Meaning we hear the rhetoric all the time of them, right? The other side of whatever it is, right? The other side of the issue, the other side of the political aisle, the other side of the world, the other side of the border. The other, and we think we're at war with them. The Bible's never given us permission as Christians to believe that. But we are at war. And the war begins first with the fact that when I say I'm free, so just stop sinning, and I say I can't. Even though I've been walking with the Lord for, 32 years. And yet, sin rises up, and I still have to fight it. Sometimes I win. Sometimes I lose. Happy are the meek who listen to the voice of the Father as He pulls back on them, as He guides them forward in conflict, because He's already won. That's the beauty of this battle. It's kind of a one-sided battle. He's already won. We're just in the middle of the battle. The war's won. We're just kind of going through it. And His promise to us, this is the reason why I think it's so interesting in nature of how leadership is viewed today, is remember, we tend to vote for leaders that we think are going to accomplish the goals that we want. They're going to win the battles that we want them to win. They're going to give us the best life that we want to have, that we think is best for us. And Jesus says, blessed are the meek, because they'll actually be the ones that inherit the earth. Everything. I was boating to Ruby this past week to go haul some freight. And as I was rounding the bend, I saw a little cabin off in the trees, and I just thought, man, it'd be fun to have a little little cabin space to be able to go run, take the family on a vacation and that kind of stuff. And then I just started thinking about, I mean, it's almost like that cabin, there's nothing beyond it, right? It's like they own the whole, everything I can see. There's the cabin, and there's, there's all this land, and it's, whether they own it or not, it's, they might as well, right? There's nothing else there. It's like it's all theirs. I'm thinking about this verse of the reality of Him saying, the earth will be yours. And it won't have to matter that we're going to have to share it with all the other brothers and sisters of Christ, because we won't care. But it'll be ours. Fully and completely. Not because we were the strongest. Not because we could bully others. Not because we pushed our own agenda. But because we lived with the strength of Christ pulsing through us, and the natural strength of our character and life that God has given to us under control. As we think about all of this in nature of Jesus, none of this is possible apart from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Again, Jesus is the epitome of meekness, but the full carrying out of meekness. I think one of the reasons we're so scared to be gentle is we're afraid we're going to get squished. People are going to take advantage of us. People are going to walk all over us. And we look at Jesus, and the reality of it is they walked all over Him so much that they killed Him. And just think about that. The God of the universe, all power under control, and we killed Him. And yet, He did not die. That's the promise of God, for us to look into our own lives and say, what kind of dad do I want to be? What kind of mom do I want to be? What kind of teacher do I want to be? What kind of neighbor do I want to be? What kind of community member do I want to be? And the charge of our heart should be to look to Jesus, listen to His voice as He's leading us in this, and hear Him saying, you are at war. Be meek. Listen to me. Ask. When was the last time that you just paused and said, God, what should I do? How should I respond? And listen. Because He's speaking. He's leading. He's directing. He's transforming our life. The psalmist writes that in his heart, a man plans his path, but God ordains his footsteps. So yeah, this is where I'm going. And God says, not without stepping on that spot, you're not. And so we listen and we step and we step and we hold our strength under control rather than blowing up. It doesn't mean that we're weak. It doesn't mean that we're timid. It does mean that we are gentle. It does mean that sometimes when I have the right to do something, I still don't do it. because that's not meek. Power under control. Jesus modeled for us what it means for us to be meek. And so this week, I would encourage you to memorize this verse. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I believe God will give you opportunities to practice meekness, to practice opportunities where you are going to have to fight against your own flesh, to curtail it in, and to pause and listen to the guiding of the Holy Spirit as Jesus tells you, this is how you are to respond. This is what you are to do. The warhorse did not have an easy life. By nature, it was led into conflict, into danger. But every battle is fought with the goal of a victory, of a win. And Jesus calls us to live in such a way where even as we find ourselves wrestling with our own flesh, there is the promise of victory. He doesn't take us into battle going like, yeah, this is a hopeless case, you're never going to win. He takes us into battle so that we can win. So that even as we sang in our song just a bit ago, this poor man cried and the Lord heard me and he saved me from my enemies. I don't know about you, but there are definitely days where Chris Kopp is Chris Kopp's own worst enemy. And I would imagine that's the exact same truth for you. So happy, one who ought to be congratulated, blessed are the meek, for you shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. God, we take this simple truth to heart this morning, realizing that we're wrestling against our own flesh. And God, we long to see so many victories and battles that we are fighting. And Lord, we know that you ultimately have won the victory. And so God, help us to have ears to hear what it is that you say, to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit as you lead us and guide us. Help us to have power under control in our own lives, that meekness would be true of us. That when people describe us as a leader, whether it is that we're leading ourselves, leading our spouse, leading our family, our kids, our neighborhood, our community, our school, whatever it is that we are leading, let meekness, humility, gentleness be true of us as it was of Jesus, our Savior. And for Jesus, we are so grateful that in Him, you have accomplished everything that we could not do, so that we can rest wholly and securely on Him for our eternal security. We love you. It's in Him that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you've been blessed by the hearing of God's Word. Feel free to connect with us at www.galenabiblechurchak.com and subscribe to this podcast at iTunes or at galenamissions.podbean.com.